want to hear the latest rap cuts and exclusive hip-hop news, keep listening to the tightest show on the planet, Breakdown FM, your official source to real hip-hop.
Understand?
Breakdown. Down.
Ladies and gentlemen.
With the Reaper, who goes deeper than Mike Myers, the Crypt Keeper with a street sweeper. It ain't hard to defeat ya, delete ya, the devil sure glad to meet ya. Mike Myers is part man, part creature, part machine, a word sliced like a guillotine. I like killing things, I made it in art form. Why you think you get so afraid in the dark for? Hardcore, my repertoire straight predator. The mics were 4-4, taking out competitors. Said it before, say it again, and copycat killers, illers and AIDS and a syringe. Me with a pen is like a fool with a Mac-10. Blasting, now you napping, packed in a casket, but talking mad lib. Yo, that's it. My nine is flash quick, my rhymes that sick. You wrapped in plastic, you can't last with. Testing me is drastic, it'll be your last wish. All I'm trying to make is fat hits, classics. Yo, I'm allergic to doing whackness. Duck them seeds, reluctantly bust with me. Busted be another MC just to see. Mike Mees, I know them seeds dislike me. Cause after we battle, yo, they wanna fight me.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got
you know what?
Ladies and gentlemen, we got,
you know what, I like to myself,
and at this time, ladies and gentlemen,
the solo whiz. See, I've been rapping for 6 years and they've been took. Keep my lyrics raw like food that they've been cooked. I've been in Cali with earthquakes and I ain't been shook. When it comes to destroying them seeds, I wrote the book. You wanna know how cold-hearted killer look? Bloodshot eyes and evil right down to the root. Let me let you in on the definition of crook. Down the mask for the cash, take anything you put in plain sight. Them seeds just ain't trained right. Just pressed up some records, but they still ain't tight. Cause Mike on the mic is way out of control. Me and tight lyrics go together like drugs and rock and roll. I got the flow to make you stop, drop, and roll. I'm on fire. Whack them seeds, got to go. With closed caption, I'll be the man of action. Committing 187s like Samuel Jackson. My words is ready for war, so I'm down for blasting. My brain, military trains, and what's happening? My first CD is already a greatest hit. Catch cop tape, can't wait to play it quick. If you want to test, then bring it on. Metaphors of warfare like Vietnam. My rhymes attack you like the Viet Cong. I rock a mic right, you rock it all wrong. Come on, yo.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got
you know what?
Ladies and gentlemen, we got
you know what, I like this myself.
And at this time, ladies and gentlemen,
the solo with.
Well, we had to start everything off with that song. The one and only Michael Myers in the house, and we had to start it off with a song called The Introduction. You know, that's an old joint, but I still like it because it definitely reminds me of the hip-hop classic, The Bridge, and if you're out here in Los Angeles, there's a classic out here. We're talking with the one and only Michael Myers, straight out of the city of L.A. How you doing today, fam?
I'm hanging in there, man. I can't complain too much.
So, you know, a lot of people outside of L.A. may not be familiar with you. I'm sure there's a lot of people on the underground because you've been a fixture on things like the Wake Up Show and what have you. And there are definitely people in the industry that know you because you do a lot of stuff behind the scenes that we would be like, oh, I didn't know hip-hop was behind that. You know, you do the soundtrack for a lot of TV shows, you know. Before we go into that, tell some of the TV shows we can hear your music on.
You can hear it on Being Bobby Brown on the Bravo channel, America's Next Top Model Season 6, Top Chef on Bravo channel. That's a lot. There's so many, man. I can't even really remember all
that many. You can't remember all the songs you put out?
I can't even remember now, man. It's been a lot, though.
You got The Apprentice coming up.
Got The Apprentice coming up this fall. I did a lot of commercials, a lot of movies of the week.
Sprite commercial, right?
Did a Sprite commercial. I did a Bud Light commercial. I did a Pepsi commercial. Did a Diet Pepsi commercial for the Super Bowl. That's the one that Puffy's in. With the can being, actually it was the Jackie Chan one. I did the music for that one.
Man, so this is Michael Myers. This is above and beyond you just being an MC, which we heard you rapping and all that. You know, how you get involved with, and how does hip-hop get involved with being a music soundtrack for some of these commercials, and is that the way to go these days?
I mean, as far as MCing is concerned, man, to really get paid in this business, any MC knows, man, you got to have multiple streams of income. So I did a commercial for Bud Light. They liked it. They asked me to do a Old Navy commercial, and then from there, I kind of just stayed in the mix with those people that are involved in those kind of things. So, yeah, hip hop is behind a whole lot, man. I think I own half of soundtracks for VH1.
Really? So wait, but you're not rapping in them. You're just producing.
Just producing, man. I've been producing since I've been rapping, really. I just, you know, didn't have enough confidence to really produce for myself up until about the second album. I did about 4 joints on that, and then my new album, which will be coming this year, I did about 80% of it. But I've done a lot of music. I took piano lessons, man. You know, I've done a lot. Like I said, VH1 and E and MTV, I've done it all.
We're talking with the one and only Mike Hill. That's M-Y-K-I-L-L, Myers. Now, you know, let me ask you, when we talk about West Coast hip-hop, of course, we think of Snoop, we think of Game. If we're up in the Bay, we think of the E-40s, Two Shorts, what have you. But there's an undercurrent from the top of Cali to the bottom of Cali, all the way from, you know, Shasta to Diego, you know, where you find, like, a lot of people like yourself that would be considered, you know, they use the word backpack, underground MCs. But it's a thriving scene and a very lucrative one and a very big one. But for people who don't know, describe that underground hip-hop scene and where you fit into it and how it kind of operates.
I'm one of the old schoolers, man. I mean, I hit the Wake Up Show in like 95. And, you know, like kids like Razzcast and Xzibit were underground then. Then they hit, you know, they hit major. You know what I'm saying? But you got groups like myself, Visionaries, Dilated Peoples, who are, you know, starting to take it over to the mainstream. You got cats like Zion I from up north, you know, Living Legend, Merce, cats like that, man. It's a real lucrative scene, man, especially like Merce and Living Legends. They go overseas a lot. And it's really just about being true to that art form, man. And it's a market for every type of music if you hustle it hard enough, man. And cats like Merce and Madlib and those cats, they've been able to make a niche in that market, and they've been able to stick with it, man. And more power to them, man. Much props to them.
We're going to take a break for a second. I'm going to come back, continue our conversation. I'm going to listen to this one. What we on the mic? Is that what it's called? You know which one?
Rock the mic.
Rock the mic. There you go. We'll be right back. We're talking with Mike
Hillmeyer.
Skills that might make you pop pills. When I bust, you catch up like a drop drill.
Danger.
The Carson Strangler is on the loose. Bang, bang, lyrics ricochet like a deuce. MCs, they pull on my nerves like a loose tooth. I ain't got it all, y'all. I think one of my screws loose. Crews lose in the contest. If you wanna come test, then come fresh. I think you better confess, cause you ain't all that fresh. You was in front of your boys talking all that mess. Talking loud as hell, sticking out your bird chest. But without your beats, you get quiet and nervous. What happened to that tough guy trash talk? Better keep your mouth shut or you be on the asphalt. It's your own fault. I put your career to a halt. You know, Bookie Mike is out, mind the chalk. But
you guys delight the way I rock the mic. I rock the rocks, rock. Crowd behind, so get up.
What?
And put your hands in the air. And wave them all around like you just don't care. Yo, you guys delight the way I rock the mic. I rock the rocks, rock. Crowd behind, so get up.
What?
And throw your hands in the air. And wave them all around like you just don't care.
I be serving y'all. Lyrically murder y'all. So you can beat me on the mic, man. It's some nerve of y'all. I ain't never heard of y'all. So you was, you ain't the hottest rapper out. You don't have a buzz. I intimidate whack rappers who try to imitate. I break your style down, let me demonstrate. Anyone who emulates, I obliterate. My mental state is too strong to manipulate. I have no apathy for a whack MC. My mission is to destroy those who battle me. I put rappers to death if they can't bust tight. We can battle via fax, email, the website. I keep the fundamental on the instrumental. I beat a rapper to death with a pencil. I put him in the hospital. They condition is critical. Bruce battered his scar, looking all pitiful.
With back here. We've been talking with Michael Myers, and you know, how'd you get that name, Michael? I mean, why you call yourself that?
My birth name is Michael. My birthday is Halloween, and Mike Hill is short for Mike Skills, also short for MCs of Mike Hill. You know, stuff like that. You know, it's kind of how it came about. It was something that kids called me when I was younger, and I thought if I spelled it, put the kill in it, it'd definitely stand out on the shelf, and it's worked for me. I love it.
Now, you know, being here in Los Angeles, this is the gang capital of the world, or supposedly, you know, how did you avoid those type of pitfalls that exist, especially since you do live out in those areas, you know, like around near Compton and all that, and you know, how come it's not reflected in your music? You know, you don't have special colored album covers. You know, the only indication maybe is when I saw Mike Kill. I was like, oh, you know, he's from L.A. But, I mean, talk about that, you know, how this underground scene exists but doesn't seem to reflect the gangster lifestyle that that is pretty prevalent here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a gangster, man. I grew up in Carson, which is, you know, right outside of Long Beach, right outside of Compton. And my brother did it. My brother gangbanged real hard, but it wasn't my thing, man. I was an athlete, so I stayed with athletics. Athletics really saved me from going the gangster route. And it's not something I do, man. I've been working with kids since I was 20, and it's not something that I want to reflect. I see what you know, 50 Cent and a lot of those gangster rappers, I see what that image perpetuates. So it's not something that I want to represent, and it's not something that I want to do. And I tell it from where I want to tell it from.
You know, kind of changing topics a little bit, related, you know, you see it firsthand because you work with kids, but you're also in Juvie Hall a lot, you know, dealing with them. So what's that like, and what's that experience like? And when you run into those youngsters, do they know, you know, Mike Hill Myers, the MC? Do they know that you can get down on a mic? And does that serve as an influence, or does that serve as an influence for you to see the effect of the music, or does the music really have an effect?
The music definitely has an effect, man. And I've run into hundreds of kids that either had a poster or a CD or saw me in a magazine or something like that, or saw me on TV, and it helps because it lets them relate to me, like as I can relate to them. You know, I speak like them, I talk like them, I dress like them, because I am hip hop. So they definitely embrace it, and they respect me more so than they would, you know, the average Joe up there in the suit and tie and the things like that. So it helps. Helps ease the gap between us, you know what I'm saying? And it's definitely a good icebreaker. You know, they definitely want to talk to me and want to know who I know and who I met in the industry and, you know, how many tours have I been on and so on and so forth. So it smooths it over, man. But the music is definitely a sign of the times where these kids, you know, that's all they have is role models. And, you know, what they see on TV and what they hear on the radio is what they take to heart, man, truly.
Really? So they do take it to heart like that. How do you fit into that then, in terms of being able to change maybe a perception or maybe being an influence? And I'm asking that from the sense that, you know, when I listen to your music, you know, because it's that underground strain, it don't sound like Game. Don't sound like 50. And even more interesting, because we're in the West Coast, don't have that funk bounce that we often associated, that Roger Zapp sound, George Clinton aesthetic. You know, so do people see it as something foreign to, you know, to them, or what?
To some respect, they do. I mean, my music is definitely East Coast based. You know what I mean? I grew up on Rakim and Eric B and you know, KRS-One, Kool G Rap, and you know, people like that, man. You know, it. So I definitely got that influence, man. But I still got that same Eazy-E, Ice Cube, MC8, you know, Toddy T, Mixmaster Spade. I still got that in me too, but I make music, man. I make what I call mood music, especially when I produce. I make mood music. You know, my moods are usually something disgruntled or something that want to shake the system. You know what I mean? And so when I do talk to kids, man, you know, the first thing you want to do, oh, let me hear you rap. And I come from that battle rap era. So when I give them the battle rap, it's like, oh, you know, you better than so-and-so, or you better than so-and-so. You should be doing this, you should be doing that. But, you know, music is what it is, man. People sell records because they want to sell that record, but I do music because I love it.
You know, let me ask you. You know, we were talking a little bit about the, you know, the underground scene here. Who is you? And you mentioned some of the early players, Raz Kaz, and you know, I'm thinking Jurassic 5, Freestyle Fellowship. These are groups that all come to mind. What was that early scene like? Where did y'all hook up at? You know, how did people kind of cut their teeth? You know, in terms of developing that scene, and where do people kind of congregate now?
Back then, man, it was the Good Life. It started at the Good Life. You know, that's where Freestyle Fellowship is from. You know, everybody who was everybody had to come through L.A. They had to go through the Good Life. All the best of them have been there.
Now, where's the Good Life at? You know, or describe what that was like.
Good Life was a really health food store turned poetry spot. Right there on the corner of Exposition Exposition and Crenshaw and in South Central, man. And, you know, everybody who was everybody back then from that era, from like 91 till about 95, had to come through there, man. I just seen cats get booed in there, man. It was like the Apollo for a while, man. You had to come in there and show and prove, man. But that era was beautiful, man, because you had so many different outlets. You know, rest in peace to my man, Bigger B. He used to have a spot called Unity. That's where we really got the grind from. You know, that's where we learned how to perform in front of our people and really do our thing. And, you know, everybody had to be good, man. We used to really police ourselves out here, you know, and it really wasn't about so much trying to, you know, sell records and you know, and be commercial. It was about being the best MC and trying to represent either your city or your town or your set or wherever you was from, you know. And that era, man, unfortunately, man, is dead now. You know, corporate America has come in and kind of, you know, shifted hip hop to where it's not where it once was. And I just want to, you know, I want to bring that balance back to it.
You know, one of the things before we take a listen to maybe one of your new joints, you talk about, you know, corporate America and the shifting of the balance. You know, here in L.A., which I found to be very interesting because it was such a hotbed. This is the home to the first all hip-hop radio station, K-Day. This gave birth to, you know, not only the gangster rap scene, but, you know, arguably for a lot of people, the whole freestyle thing, you know, was born out of there as you kind of chronicled, you know, the thing in the Good Life. And we should add everybody from Dub C on down. Like you said, anybody with anybody went there and had to, you know, be on their P's and Q's, so to speak. But now here we are in 2006. And when you're in Los Angeles, like, their number one hip hop station is no longer number one in the market. It's number 16 or number 13. You know, so one station, I think The Beat, went out of format, stopped playing that. And it kind of, you know, had people grumbling and saying maybe hip-hop is dead, you know, or at least it's dead on the radio. So talk about how you feel about that and what does that mean when you see, you know, these corporations that kind of, you know, adopted that as their medium, suddenly not doing well with it.
I think, man, I mean, hip-hop is in danger, man. It's to the point to where it's monopolized so much from the label standpoint that it's a cookie-cutter industry now. So it's the same product being turned over, you know, flipped 5-6 different times, you know what I mean? What you hear coming out of South pretty much sounds the same. And it's not a knock to the South. That's their brand of music. But when you saturate that in a market that's not fit for that, you leave the consumer left with no choices other than to turn it off, you know? And that's why it slipped so bad, especially in L.A., because we, believe it or not, are the biggest copycat market out there. So whatever's hot, we own it, and we own it tenfold. And it's just, you know, people rather go to the club and hear it, man. And I think the digital age has a little bit to do with it. But I think more so has to do with just redundancy, man. It's just you can't keep playing the same songs on the radio day in and day out and expect people to really want to tune in every day.
Are you surprised to hear, you know, what you're talking about? Seems to be the same complaint that you hear all around the country. You know, in New York, for example, they have a lot of underground cats or cats that are on the verge of popping, whether it's like Papoose and Saigon and others that, you know, aside from a K-Slay mix show or something, don't get the regular airplay. And you hear the complaint that it's dominated by music that's not necessarily fit for the region. Here in L.A., we hear the same thing. You know, I'm looking at your Mitchie Slicks and, you know, your Bishop Lamonts, and, you know, there's a whole handful of other burgeoning MCs. And just talking the other day with Turf Talk and Mr. Fab, F.A.B. up in the Bay, you know, they also have the same type of concerns. Like, you know, there's this whole school ready to break loose, and it seems like there's a bottleneck because, you know, the industry has deemed that there's certain types of sounds and styles that need to be presented, and they're presented wholesale. You know, so even in L.A., it's all down south stuff all day long, and it doesn't necessarily reflect. Well, you tell them you live in the hood. I mean, is that the reflection of what's going on, or is there something else that they're missing?
It's definitely missing, man, but I think as MCs, I mean, you know, we all complain about lack of airplay and whatnot, but I mean, it's more about creating outlets for ourselves. You know what I mean? I think if we band together as a unit and we start going up to the radio stations and we start doing some of the things that we used to do, at least I used to do back in the day, I stayed at the beat. You know what I'm saying? I stayed at the beat while Julio G was on, and then stayed until, you know, Tekken Sway got on and made sure I got on the air. And it's just going back to doing stuff like that, man. But a lot of cats don't want to tailor themselves down. They think, you know, they may be too high and mighty to start from scratch like that, man. But, you know, we kind of got to do it like Eazy-E did it, man. He's like, okay, we ain't going to get no airplay. We don't make clean records. So we just going to get it to the swap meets and get it to wherever it's popping at, man. And I think we need to really just go back to that and force the system to change.
We're going to take a break, come back, continue our conversation with Mike Hill-Meyer.
Nowadays, niggas get shot and do stupid things. Wanna be like Tupac Shakur? Young niggas will clown you if you ain't never been shot before. But yo, that's just these days and times. These young niggas out there doing amazing crimes. Some of them get life before they life gets started. 211s, 187s, niggas is cold-hearted. They think it's over at the age of 15. No three things, get pussy, get shot, and get green. Be getting into all types of things. Need to stay in a child's place and try to live your dreams. Try to stay focused, you ain't got nothing but time. But you rather bullshit and do nothing but crime. That's how it goes when you young and full of cum. Better watch out because the youngsters, he got a gun. And it's gonna be a shooting, nigga.
Slow down, youngster, you're moving too fast. Got your hands in the air and you're full of gas.
These youngsters ain't got shit to lose, and everything to gain ain't shit to spit the ooze. No hope, no job, and no skills either. Money on the mind, man, and they scared jail neither. Baby, running round town, chasing these dimes. Knowing they can't get up, I ain't hating, but I'm just telling the facts, man. A lot of them act like their life is a joke, better get on track. Either you got it or getting it, ain't nothing in between. You gotta find you some new ways to get green. Time waits for no man, man, them streets will get you. If the stress don't get you, then the heat will hit you. Betcha these youngsters take their life for granted. Thinking shit is cool, man, and I don't understand it. Watch out, cause the youngsters got a gun, and he probably on the run, and he kill him for fun. So there's gonna be a shootin', nigga.
We're back here. We've been hanging out with LA, one of his premier MCs, underground MCs. Or I don't know, should I be calling it underground? Does, you know, when you separate the music like that, does it do it a service? Does it set you apart and make people go, this is where I want to go, or do? Does it maybe shortchange you?
It does for those who don't really understand what hip-hop is. There's a lot of people that embrace hip-hop, but they don't really understand the grassroots of it. So when you separate it to somebody who really doesn't know, then yeah, it may do it a disservice. But, you know, underground is what it is. I mean, that's what I do. I don't really make mainstream records, so you got to categorize it. Underground wouldn't be a bad category to put me in.
You know, one of the things that has resulted out of the bottlenecking of the music, a lot of people are going the independent route, and it seems a lot easier now because we are in the digital age and people can have their home studios and disseminate their music on their own without necessarily going through all the doors that were traditionally there. How do you fit into that? Are you, you know, you've been on independent record labels. I don't know if you were ever signed to a major, but do you want to be signed to a major? And especially since you tasted the money on being on the TV side, you don't have, you know, music and songs placed on that side. I mean, which is the best route to go, especially if you're trying to get into the field?
If you're trying to get into it, man, the best way to go is independent. Make your own market, make your own niche, and create that and cultivate that. I was once signed to A&M Records many moons ago. They had a label called Perspective. And they folded. I think Young Z was on that label as well. Cat by the name of Arrogant. That's from out here. We all signed around the same time. And, you know, we never got an album out. Then I went the independent route, and that was cool for its time. But now I just choose to do it independently because I want to have total control of it. You know what I'm saying? I, from being on the TV side, I see that the real money is made to those who own it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm probably the only cat that came out in the 2000 era that owns his own masters. You know what I mean? So when I license my music to VH1 for them to use for, you know, some kind of hip hop show or, you know, the Fabulous Life of, you know, it's my music. I get every dollar of that.
Nowadays, that's because a lot of record sales have declined. That seems to be the new hustle that the major labels have been doing. So, I mean, maybe you can explain it, but I hear stories about them basically cutting the deal with all these corporations, getting a huge chunk of the money, and then literally coming back and telling their artists, oh, you're going to do a song where you talk about these products and maybe give them a couple of dollars, but meanwhile the label made millions. But that don't happen with you because you own it outright.
Right, I own it outright, and I deal with T-Mobile itself. You know what I'm saying? So I do a commercial for T-Mobile. I get the money straight from T-Mobile. It's no middleman in there. When I did the Sprite commercial, I did it straight with Sprite. You know, when I did the Diet Pepsi, it was straight with Pepsi. You know, they cutting me a check, cutting Michael Arrington a check. You know what I'm saying? They're not cutting Universal a check, and then Universal's handing me a couple dollars. You know, and I mean, there's advantages to being on major labels. You know, you definitely got that major machine behind you, giving you that push, and you get airplay, and you get video play, and so on and so forth. And they sponsor tours.
But those things are paid for, though. I mean, when you get that airplay and that video play, I mean, that's basically coming out your budget anyway.
Eventually, yeah, you'll have to, you know, feel the effects of that. You know, but, you know, the way I'm doing it is the way I want to do it, man. I feel like I'd rather get all of $1,000 than half of it. You know what I mean? Or 10% of it. You know what I'm saying? So if I sell 100 records, I got $1,000 outright, my money.
What do you say to people, you know, because there's some people that go, man, hip-hop's gotten too commercial. And, you know, and if you're doing music for big companies like that, is it diluting it or is it helping spread it? I mean, how do you see that, and how do you answer that sort of criticism? Because remember, I remember back in the days when Hammer, for example, first came out and he did Kentucky Fried Chicken. He caught a lot of heat. And then, you know, recently me and him, we sat down and we talked about that. And he said it's amazing how some of the same people that were giving him grief about it are now coming around trying to seek their own deal. And in fact, some of his hardest critics actually got deals now. You know, they're running around hawking all kind of stuff from deodorant to toothpaste, you know, like there's nothing wrong, you know. So, I mean, how do we see that? I mean, is it a catch-22?
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, at the same time, you know, it may dilute the music a little bit or the culture a little bit. But, I mean, cats got to eat. I mean, it's not everything you see these cats on these videos, man. All that stuff, you know, usually it's got to go back. You know, they don't take that home with them. You know what I mean? A lot of them are struggling, man, trying to, you know, they're begging for shows and begging to get on tours and begging to get money, man. And so kind of got to do what you got to do to eat, man. And on Hammer, I've always wanted to say this and never had the platform to say it. Hammer was a pioneer, man. He took a lot of flack for what we have today. He's the reason why hip hop is where it's at. You know what I mean? And I don't think he gets enough credit for that. And him being a West Coast MC, you know, everybody was listening to Turn His Mother Out. I don't care what you say. You know what I'm saying? Now, they may have got a little soft when he got about to too legit to quit, but all that opened the door for 50 Cent to do what he does, and Eminem to do what he does, and Puffy to do what he does. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, much respect to Hammer, man. And, you know, cats gotta eat, man. So it's either you don't do it and then struggle, or you get an opportunity to do it and you make a little bit of money in the long run.
You know, building off that, then some people say, well, you know, that's what 50 says. He got to eat. So he does. He picks beef with everybody and that becomes successful. Or somebody does a smack a bitch, kill a whole pimper, pimp my mother record, and they say they got to eat. So where do we draw the line within hip hop towards you got to eat versus, you know, just doing it just to be doing it? I mean, and is it realistic to expect anybody who picks up this mic or spray can or whatever to just do it and not get paid? You know, how do we do that? Because you get that, you know, there's some people that will sit there and they'll be like, well, you know, hip-hop shouldn't be making no money at all. And then at the same time, you know, when you do make your money, you know, it's not like they put money in your pocket. So then, you know, how do you eat?
Yeah, I mean, it's gotta be a line that you draw. You know what I mean? It's a line that I draw as an artist. It's things that I won't do. You know what I'm saying? I won't say bitch too many times in the record, especially if I'm talking about females. Now I may call a male MC that. You know what I mean? But that's from the battle aspect. But I won't make songs degrading women. I won't make songs where I'm degrading my culture. And, you know, my father always told me, man, you know, people got to eat, man. But if you got to disrespect your family or disrespect what it is you do to eat, then you need to change your diet. You know, straight up. And I think a lot of these cats, man, you know, 50 Cent included, you know, a lot of these cats that's in the forefront, man, they need to really check what they're doing, man, because I see the byproduct of what they cultivate. I see it in the youth.
You when you're at Juvenile Hall.
When I'm at the Juvenile Hall and I see these kids locked up, I see how they look at 50 Cent. They look at him like he's a father, a brother, a god. You know, how they look at Tupac when he was around. And, you know, it's a responsibility that we must carry, man, just as human beings, one, and then as, you know, as black people, brown people, it's a respect and an order that we should serve.
You know, building off the Juvenile Hall aspect, you know, Lil' Kim recently got out of jail, and I penned an essay that was actually inspired by seeing her family. You know, her brother and mom came to BET Awards and was talking. It was basically like, yo, our daughter's been, you know, unfairly incarcerated, you know, and, you know, they asked people to support and pray for her and wish her well, and, you know, they had the special, you know, all types of stuff, which, you know, is fine, and I think nobody would argue, especially if we come from, you know, our neighborhoods, that the system oftentimes is unjust, and that, you know, there's a warehousing of black and brown people all the time. You see it every day. You see it every day, and, you know, what are you in L.A., so about 90% of the people black and brown, right?
93%, man, is black and brown.
With that in mind, my question to them was, like, will somebody like Lil' Kim go out and maybe bring attention to that railroading and that unjustness, you know? Will they go and speak or at least support programs so that people can be inspired both inside and out, you know, those on the outside to avoid going in and those on the inside to be inspired to get out? And, you know, you being an artist, do you find that a lot of the, you know, your peers, people that you come across, do they even think in those lights? Do they consider themselves and say, you know, let me go down here to, you know, juvie or even jail and, you know, holler at some of these folks, since a lot of the stuff I'm talking about is related to their present situation? And if not, what should they be doing?
I mean, a lot of them, man, they only do it for, you know, whatever publicity they can get out of it or whatever dollar they can get out of it, you know, man. But to deal with the youth, you got to be honest, because the kids, they smell fear like dogs, and they know when you coming legit. They know when you know you faking and shaking. So, you know, if you're gonna do it, you gotta do it. You can't really talk about what you want to do. Talk about, you know, maybe what you can do. You know, somebody like Lil' Kim, who just spent a year in the Bing, she should be able to come out and speak to people and let them know, you know, hey, what I did wasn't the right thing. Yeah, I may have been wrongly accused or whatever, but also I put myself in a position to be in that light. And, you know, I make too much money, and I got too much going on for me to be in that kind of light, you know. So, you know, if she comes out and says that, man, that'll do more service to our people than her coming out and coming to a couple of juvenile halls or coming to a couple of prisons and telling them how the system is messed up. You know, we already know the system's messed up. How can we stay away from the messed up system? Nobody tells us that, though. And I think artists need to come out, man, and do that, man. And from what I see, man, I try to get artists to come down and speak to the juvenile hall, man. It's like pulling teeth.
Now, I know you were setting up a concert or something like that, and you did talk with some people. How is that going, and who are some of the people that you did get, you know, to make commitments or at least, you know, really start to break bread with you?
Yeah, I spoke to Rocka from Dilated People, so they definitely confirmed it. Jurassic 5, when they get off tour, they're definitely going to come down. Be Real from Cypress Hill, trying to get him. We spoke briefly. Trying to get Exhibit as well, and trying to get Immortal Technique down. You know, we and him haven't spoke yet. We, you know, have schedules conflicting, but, you know, it's coming together. I'm probably putting it together probably sometime in October, and it's going to be something that's definitely needed. You know, I want them to be able to not only, you know, do a concert and do a benefit for the youth, but also want them to spend time with them so they can be able to talk to them, man, and have these kids asking questions, man, especially somebody like Exhibit, who's on TV a lot, and then he's looked upon as somebody that, you know, people look up to. For a kid that's in the ghetto to get a chance to talk to him face-to-face, one-on-one, it'd be enormous for that kid. You know what I mean? So, you know, I want him to be able to do that, man. It was a lot harder going in, you know, than I thought going into it. But it's definitely necessary, and I'm going to make it, you know, I'm going to do what it takes to get it together.
And this is coming from somebody who knows everybody.
Right. I know a lot of people. So, you know, and it's crazy because, like, a lot of people are like, hey, you going to perform now? It's not about me. It's about these other cats that are on TV every day, you know, the Will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas. I want them people to come see them. You know what I mean? And just really give it back, you know, because these are the consumers that's buying your records.
You know, you mentioned Will.i.am and the Black Eyed Peas. I just had to ask, you know, because they were fixtures a long time ago in L.A. on the underground scene. And then, you know, nowadays people, you know, they have, you know, their criticisms towards them. But, man, talk about their significance and, you know, where they're at and what they, you know, what they meant to, you know, to L.A., you know, especially during those heyday eras.
Yeah, Will, I've known Will for years, man, back when he was Will 1X. And he was a hell of a dancer back then. And they were a hell of a dancing crew. And they did that thing, and they came right out of the Good Life era like everybody else. And, you know, they took a lot of heat, and they take a lot of heat for their brand of music. But, I mean, their brand of music is good. It's just, it adds another dimension to what hip-hop is. It's not all about, you know, gangsta and hardcore and killing and shooting and violence. And they got, a brand of hip-hop that's real ordinary for the ordinary college guy or ordinary, you know, everyday Joe. And Will is... he's putting his stamp on hip-hop right now, producing right now.
Yeah, a lot of people forget that he produces, you know, like, they'll be calling him Bubblegum as Black Eyed Peas, but a lot of joints that people nodding their heads to, he produced it.
He produced them. He's working on Nas's record right now. He's working on Ludacris's record. He did something for Busta, so, I mean, he's eating. That's the $8 million man, I like to call him, man. He's out there eating well, man, so I can't knock what he's doing, man, and I think it's needed, man. I think, you know, when I came up in the golden era of rap, you know, for every... Kool G Rap and N.W.A. and Too Short, you know, we had a brand Nubian and the Public Enemy and, you know, Poor Righteous Teachers and X-Clan. And I think, you know, it's all needed, man, especially nowadays, man, because it's so oversaturated with the same redundant, you know, shake it in the club, do it in the club. You know what I mean? Like, it's only so long you can be in the club, man, before you get tired. Somebody got to go home. You know, talk about the drive home from the club. Talk about when, you know, you had to use a bathroom one day. Talk about some, you know, diversity is the spice of life, man. We want to try to get diversity back in hip-hop, man.
Well, you know, Murs does that. And, you know, you know when he did his thing, Dark Skinned White Girls. And remember, he had the skateboard song. And then you have Lupe Fiasco. He's coming with a skateboard song. He also told me he did a song about being too shy to talk to somebody he likes. But those are the types of things that people can get over with, you know.
I mean, even gangsters are too shy to talk to people sometimes. So, you know, talk about that, man. Bring a little diversity back to it, man. It's all good. It's for the betterment of hip-hop, man. And we definitely need it. And we need people like Murs. They need to see the light of day as far as their play is concerned.
We'll be right back and conclude with Michael Myers.
Every word is heat. Got my trigger finger itching to grab the mic. My mic's equipped with laser sights.
You step outside and get gutted.
Check it out, Joe.
My wordplay is gunplay. Heavy artillery lyrics pack more heat than sun rays. Military train to blow cats out of the frame. Alpha Tigers ready to slaughter, obliterate Maine. Gang spit it, it's infinite. Lyrical biscuit, man, I spit quick slugs in your mug. I never hesitate to make them seeds levitate. You met your fate when you step to my face. Cause murdering them seeds is a must. Gluttony, greed, pride, envy, wrath, sloth, and lust. Watch blood guts, cause I bloodlust must bust into your body turns to mush. Bullets are stuck between your abdomen and rib cage. Enraged with a 12 gauge on a rampage. Call me the sensei. Her brutality, whose casualties are casualty. Left laying in the pool of blood, all full of slugs. Stab wounds that baffle a criminologist. Mathematic, wrath addict, trigonometrist. With a theorem, I'ma clear them and let loose the proof. Cock back the mind and shoot. Blast the mathematic, semi-automatic. They ain't invest that's stopping me. Trigonometry with a theorem. I'ma clear them and let loose the proof. Cock back the mind and shoot. Blast the mathematic, semi-automatic. They ain't invest that's stopping me. Trigonometry. I use metaphors as weapons of war to sell scores. It's better for you to retreat and get lifted off your feet. Trick or treat from Mr. Halloween. I'm getting hella green, pulling out M16s, dropping you clean. It seems seeds don't rhyme right. So I verbally slice and dice them for hip-hop sacrifice.
sacrifice. My raps is tight. I bust slugs with my windpipe. Hitting targets at you marksmen and the ammo is my mic. Detrimental to your life like chrome to your dome. Cock it back and you're blown away with a 4-5 throwaway. Then I redeploy to destroy my enemies. Attack your camp to wipe out your whole infantry instantly. My trigonometry divides your bodily functions to nothing. Mathematically dismantling while I'm battling. My vocality exterminates your whole locality. Got more casualties for those MCs who wanna battle me. I got you open cause trigonometry slogan. My AK is
with a fear of love. I'ma clear them and let loose the proof. Cock back the mind and shoot.
We've been chilling with Michael Myers, longtime MC out of L.A., somebody who you should know, and if you don't know, you probably heard his music on a variety of TV shows, you know, everything from, well, this season with The Apprentice, but America's Top Model, Sprite commercials, Pepsi commercials, he's done it all. So behind the scenes, he's a producer that provides a lot of soundtracks, VH1 specials, and all that, and then also, you know, you're putting out your new album. What's your new album called?
New album is called The Trials of Jove. Be coming out sometime August, September.
Now, you know, I always do this when I talk to MCs, and, you know, we've heard a few of your songs, and obviously you got skills, and you did say you came from the Good Life era. And during the Good Life era, everybody had to come in and prove themselves. And you've been on the Wake Up Show. You've been a regular fixture on the Wake Up Show with Sway and Tech. Now, you know, I take a little bit different approach than they do when we sit with gifted MCs. You know, we're not going to make you bust the freestyle because we already know that you can. But we want you to put on your battle cap, you know, and your thinking. And I'm going to name off, you know, I'm going to create the scenario. I want to see how you, as an MC, handles it. So, you know, the first one, you know, let's take your partner. Exhibit. It's you on one side of the stage, him on another, the audience with their arms folded talking about impress me, and it's one mic. How does Michael Myers dissect Exhibit in a battle?
I go from the throat down, you know. I talk about his voice and do that whole thing, you know, and then, you know, I may call him by his government name and then, you know, talk about the TV show and some of the corny jokes that I've heard on there and then take it from there, you know. And, you know, may talk about his clothes and his new shoes he got out, something like that, you know. Might do it that way. It really depends on what mood I'm in. If I'm in a real angry mood, he might really get it. You know what I mean? I might really go to the head and really go, you know, go there and talk about certain scenarios and certain things I've seen in the streets. But, you know, I mean, that's just, it all depends on what level he takes me.
Damn, man, your eyes, man, if you had a TV, your eyes got all focused and everything, and you just went for the juggler, said he had corny jokes and everything, okay? Here's another one, you know, he's a good battle MC, and I've actually asked him the question before when we interviewed somebody who you know and love, we all like him, my man Rocker, Dilated Peoples, you on the stage, he on the stage, arms folded, how do you take Rocker out in the battle?
I start with the hair first. Go from the head and, you know, ask him what Irish science really means and break down that whole metaphysics and then, you know, might take it from that. You know, I might even throw his man and his crew there, you know. Might ask him what Babu is doing now. And, you know, might do something like that. It all depends, man. You know, battles are spontaneous, man. And it's really like a mood. For me, it's a mood, you know. And once they say that one thing that pops my adrenaline off, then it's nonstop. You know what I mean?
Another battle MC, you know, he doesn't often get seen that way, but he loves to battle. I just seen him Saturday down here at the Staples Center. He was battling, you know, Game. Game gets on the stage. He brought all of Compton with him. He brought the entire clique, you know. How do you battle Game, especially if he brings all his affiliated friends to the spot?
Well, I'd probably call him Jason first. You know, then I may talk about, you know, his stint on Blind Date. Then I may talk about, you know, how he used to play basketball and how he had the blonde hair and the earring. And, you know, he probably had his nipples pierced or something like that, too. And talk about when he used to dance and, you know, talk about him just starting out in rap. He ain't never been in the Good Life, never been in Unity, never went through what I went through. So I don't know how he can really say he the king of L.A. That'd be hard. That'd be something that I might stay on for about 15, 20 minutes freestyling.
We just got two more. Michael's going. That's how they call him, Michael Myers. I talked with Snoop a couple of years ago, and he was saying that he would give $1 million. Anybody could beat him in the freestyle thing. I thought you might remember that. Snoop was saying that, you know, he was like, that's it. $1 million if you could take me out. And, you know, and then when I talked to him, he was busting him some stuff. I was like, damn, Snoop is getting down. How do you take Snoop out? Especially, let's up the ante, man. There is $1 million on there. If you beat him, you get the mill.
That'd be a little tough, man, just because, you know, he's got that kind of name, man, where don't matter too much what I say, man. All he got to do is say something, and the crowd is on it, you know what I mean? So it just depends, man. I'd probably get real personal. I'd probably call him Calvin, you know, and I'd probably talk about, you know, the first demo I heard when he was Snoop Rock. You know, when he was dancing with the flat top, you know.
Snoop was a dancer?
Yeah, he was a dancer, you know, right before, right after he stopped playing football. I mean, all gangsters was dancers at one point. You know what I mean? This is L.A. now. This is the land of dreams, you know. So we all had fantasies of trying to be, you know, we all watched Breaking and wanted to be Spookaloo Shrimp. You know what I mean? So I talk about that. I mean, talk about a lot of stuff. I talk about Long Beach in general, you know. You know, I probably catch a lot of hell for it, though, but, you know, we'd have to go there, though.
Do you change your flow or anything when you battle? Do you come with a different type of approach, or do you just, you know, just come at them guns blazing?
Sometimes I come at them guns blazing. Other times, man, I come what I call real Al Sharpton, where I'm in your face like I'm on the pulpit waving my finger, you know. And other times I may come real, you know, I may come real Malcolm X and be real reserved or real, you know, by any means necessary kind of style. You know, other times I might just be a clown and just, you know, mimic that guy and, you know, and do it like that. So it really depends, man. It all depends on what they say about me. Once they say that one thing about me, then that usually kicks me back to Al Sharpton.
This is the last one, you know. I love these guys. These are my homies. You battling all five, all four. Jurassic 5. You know, Kier, Tuna, what you call it? Mark 7, all of them. They're all up on the stage. They coming with their game, and they came from the good life. They might have been there before you was. Yeah, so how do you take them out? It's you versus them.
I had to go real cold crush on them, you know, and give them that, you know. We represent that. I really do. I'd mimic them. You know what I'm saying? I might start, you know, might talk about Akil. That's my man. It's all in love. But I might talk about, you know, I might talk about his gray hair or something like that. I may talk about Charlie Tuna's throne or something, you know. I might talk about, but, you know, it all depends, man. You know, you kind of put me on the spot. But I like that you asked me that, though, man. It's definitely something. Man.
Now you're going to go back and think about it just in case.
I'm going to go back and think about it. Like, you know, what am I going to say now? You know, because they probably going to hear this and be like, oh, he's talking shit. So I'm going to have to get myself ready, man. But you know, it's all in love, man. I battle anybody. I don't care, man.
There you go, Mike Hill Myers, man. It was good talking with you, man, and building. What's the next step for you guys? I mean, let's see, the album again.
I got the album, Trials of Job, will be out in September. I got a comic book called Hip Hop is in Danger. It'll be out in February next year. I got my own clothing line coming out, Abnormal Gear coming out next year.
You're talking about doing a radio station for a minute, huh?
Yeah, I was talking about it, man, but I think I'm going to leave it to guys like you, man. You guys do it better than I can, man. I got my mentor group, man. We definitely starting to expand and broaden our horizons, man. It's called Flock, Future Leaders of the Community. And, you know, I'm doing a lot of things with the youth, man, and a lot of, you know, community action type stuff.
And how can one get a hold of you if they want to, you know, build with Michael Myers?
You can always go to www.michaelmyers.com. That's www.michaelmyers.com. Shoot me an email, man. I respond to all of them, man. It may take me a week, may take me two, but I definitely get back to you.
Okay, well, there you go. Mike Hill Myers. Good talking with you, man. We out for now.
Yo, what up? This is Michael Myers. I'm chilling with Breakdown FM. Peace.
Breakdown FM. Fresh. For the new millennium.
I said it, minutes, bite my tongue for no one. Took some time off, these cats getting they flow on. Yeah, so on and so on. Been behind the scenes, homie, getting my dough on. A lot of whack rappers, man, they tryna dick ride. They be kissing ass, man, just tryna get by. Not me, homie, see, I go my own route. I'm a self-made dollar, man, I got my own clout. These underground niggas, man, I just don't feel them. Put me in the booth with them and I'm gon' kill them. Cause I've been throwing up W's since you young niggas was in summer school and wearing them under rules. Huh. You wonder who was bringing the thunder, fools? Yo, we come through with a gun or two and start blasting. You wanna rep the left, you better come with it, cause we bring it straight to your chest, fool.
Somebody gotta take a stand. This music they callin' hip-hop, it needs to be banned or reclassified into another category. We gotta control the music, man, that shit is mandatory, yo. Hip-hop done lost its balls. We need these so-called stars to get involved, cause the laughing taffy bullshit's a goddamn shame. Them whack-ass dudes ain't said a goddamn thing. We say it's cool and let the industry exploit us. We gotta police it, man, or they gonna destroy us. I care too much to go along and not say nothing. Radio stay frontin', they play something if you pay something. They play the same damn thing. Indie artists maintain, we in the same gang. We gotta stick together, man, and buck the system and make some noise. Yo, so they fucking listen, come on. Gangsta, gangsta, that's what they yelling. Gangsta, gangsta, that's what they selling. But that gangsta, gangsta ain't what I'm repping. I use my pen and pad as my weapon. Like I can't talk about what I feel. Man, I live and breathe the streets, homie, and that's real. From South Bay down to South Central, I spit projectiles from my midtown. Now the most high's my pen pal. Y'all saying Mike Myers, he done went wild. I say what I know, and I mean what I say. I get messages from God, man, I mean what I pray. See a lot of these cats, man, they website warriors. Caught up in the glamour and glitch, the euphoria. Imitate an image, man, another black casualty. It ain't about reality, it's all about a salary.
Physical damage.